seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verses 20 and 21. The book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verses 20 and 21. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. The book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verses 20 and 21. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. We have here the wonderful record of the Lord taking home from this earth that great patriarch, Jacob, to be with the Lord forever in glory. And what a wonderful character he was. And he left it very clear, all concerning his life and all concerning his death and burial. Everything was left in order. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when we come to that great day of death and everything be in order, whether it be in our hearts or whether it be concerning everything concerning us naturally. But at the close of dear Father Israel, Jacob's life, he was to be wonderfully favoured down in the land of Goshen. The Lord had wonderfully provided for him right the way through his life, from many crises, many times of great trial, many times of great sorrow. But in this latter days, he was to be especially favoured. And in the land of Goshen, with the blessings of heaven in his soul and the wonderful provision for his daily need. But when the Lord had taken him home, there was great concern in the brethren how Joseph would deal with them. They felt the loss of their dear father much, because there's no doubt he strove for peace in the family and for the blessings of the Lord to be upon them. But they were very troubled after they returned into Egypt because of his departure, how Joseph would deal with them. But you see, the Lord was to bring these brethren to a very low place. A place, really, that the Lord had showed Joseph that he would bring them to many years before. The Lord showed Joseph, you can read in chapter 37, where he dreamed that they would all be brought to fall before him, both his father and these brethren. And his brothers, you see, these brethren, they hated him because of it. That he told them that they would all have to fall at his feet. And they so hated him that they cast him into the pit and then sold him as a slave down into Egypt. And it's very wonderful, really, to look at the life of Joseph, because he was 17 when they sold him down there. You think how you young ones, how you would feel if your relations and loved ones in the family sold you into some foreign land. But such was their enmity against him, because of what the Lord had shown him in this dream. And one of the reasons for it, and it's a thing we need to take heed to, was their jealousy. It's a solemn thing, is jealousy. It's as cruel, the Word of God tells us, as the grave. So they sold him down there. And he had to have 13 years in Potiphar's house and in the prison. And we read that when Pharaoh called him forth out of the prison, he was 30 years old. So he'd had 13 years there in Potiphar's house and in the prison. But we read, didn't we, at the close of the chapter that he died at the age of 110 years, which meant that he had 80 years in Egypt in great honour and in great prosperity. But the point I want to name is this: they'd all got to come to fall down before him. And really, as I've said many times over the years, Joseph was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And how sinners will have to be brought, you and I, if we're among his children, to fall down before him. And if you read through all what they went through in the famine, and how many times they had to go back to Joseph and to fall down before him in great need. And here, even after the death of their father, they have to come back again to him, don't they, to Joseph. And they have to fall down before him. And why did they fall down before him? Well, first of all, because of their sin. There's no doubt, particularly after Jacob was taken home, the sin of their past life was all brought before them. and they had to come to Joseph for forgiveness. What did they say? So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. And what a mercy it is that they got somewhere to go and fall down before. One that was to understand them. And think about it today. There may be those of you and one's own heart, because of all our sin, there's a wonderful place to go, just as though we are, to the heavenly Joseph and fall before him as guilty sinners. I love that last verse of that beautiful hymn where the hymn writer said, a guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. And Joseph was to have love to them and compassion upon them. And that's what the dear Saviour does to sinners today. But notice how they had to come as penitent men, grieving and mourning of all what they had done. May the Lord grant to us that humble repentance, that real broken heart, a real contrite spirit to come to the heavenly Joseph. And we read, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of the God of their father. And what was the reaction from Joseph? Joseph wept when they spake unto him. You know, the Lord is touched when penitent sinners come to his feet. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. He shows immediately compassion upon them. They feared he would send them away in wrath and turn them out of Egypt and all their possessions they would lose. But no. We see here love in the heart of Joseph. And is there not love in the heart of the Saviour to penitent sinners, weeping sinners, weeping over their sin and after him? And his brethren also went and fell down before his face and said, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And listen how, and our text is part of what Joseph said to them. We sing in one of the hymns, he will not send them empty back or fright them from the door. And here we find it concerning Joseph, don't we? He didn't send them empty back, did he? He didn't turn them away in wrath, which he could have done because of their sin. You know, when we think of what we deserve because of our sin, we stand amazed at the love and mercy of the Lord. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? Fear not. He immediately calms their troubled, tempest-tossed hearts. And all you think of it today, in your, I don't know what you may be in, you see, they were so concerned, first of all, as we have looked at the sin that had gone before and how they dealt with Joseph. Think of it concerning you. Are we concerned about the sins of our past life? Or the sins of the present day in our hearts? Well, could the psalmist say, remember not against me the sins of my youth? There's no doubt dear David continually looked back at those sins and they troubled him. And he needed the Lord's mercy every hour. And so do you, and so do I. But here he speaks so lovingly to them, doesn't he? The second thing was they were concerned about the future. Not only was there a looking back, but what about the future? How is he going to deal with us now? And you think in your heart and in your pathway, and some of you may be so concerned this morning, it's not just the past, but what about the present and what about the future? And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? You see, the Lord God of heaven had looked upon all what they had done and all their lives and how they'd been brought to fall down before Joseph in the time of famine, needing food, hungry they were. And then now, at the death of their dear father, they wonder whether everything was gone. What about the future? Fear not, for am I in the place of God? You see, Joseph was the means in the hand of God to show mercy to them. He was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And to quell their fears. And he was really like God unto them. Oh, he was. He was the instrument in the hands of God to have compassion on them. But then he said to them the words of our text, but as for you, he brings it right home to them. But as for you, may we lovingly address this to each of our own hearts this morning. As for you, not somebody else. We live in a day where so many are looking at this person or that person or somebody else. As for you. You see, the day is fast coming when each one of us and will have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. As for you, how will you, how will I stand in that great day? Joseph brings it right home to them personally. As for you, their dear father Israel, Jacob, had been taken into glory. But now it had come to them personally, they were to stand before the great judge of the earth. As for you, ye thought evil against me. And they had, didn't they? They were guilty. Ye thought evil. He reminds them. And we need to be continually reminded, we do. Ye thought evil against me. It was very fact, wasn't it? They had. You think of the enmity and the evil that was in their heart when they sold him at 17 years old down into Egypt. Ye thought evil against me. Evil was in their hearts. But the wonderful mercy was this, that the Lord was to overrule all that evil. Not that the Lord agreed with the evil that was in them. Don't make any mistake and think, well, we can do evil and it will work out for good. It never will. Not in our hands or in the hands of any man, but the Lord can overrule even the evil that's in the heart of man to work for good. And he proved it here. As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. It was very confirming that we should open the service this morning with that beautiful hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, because you look at it in this case and he moved in a most mysterious way, both for Joseph and for these brethren, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. But God meant it unto good. I notice the margin refers us to chapter 45, where we read in that beautiful 45th chapter how Joseph said to them, didn't he? That God had sent him before them to preserve life and a posterity in the earth. He was to preserve their lives. You see, the famine came, but God had sent Joseph before them. And the land of Egypt had prospered under the hand of Joseph. But God meant it unto good. And it may be, well, the Lord has given me this word, there are those of you that may be walking through bitter things. We sing in that hymn, don't we? And another, 307 as well, where it says, the bud may have in 320 a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And in 307, though our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret that sweetens all. And the point here is this. There was that which was ever so bitter when they sold Joseph down into Egypt. It was a bitter path for Joseph to walk in. But God had meant it for good. You see, there was going to be, sweet will be the flower. They couldn't see it. Even godly Jacob couldn't see it. With all the grace that he had. But the Lord was to unfold it, you see. His purposes shall ripen fast, unfold in every hour. And as the Lord unfolds those purposes, like he did here, they could see how God meant it for good. We think back in one's own life, there have been some bitter things we've had to walk through, and bitter trials, bitter oppositions, bitter temptations. But you know, the Lord has brought out of them so often so much good. And we can bless and praise him for it. But you know, when we're in it, like when Joseph was in this with all the evil they poured out upon him, however could good come out of it? Well, man cannot bring it out at all, can he? But God can, because he has all power to. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. And let us bring it right home to us here. Could it not be said concerning us before the Lord in the days of our unregeneracy, ye thought evil of me? Many think evil of the dear Lord Jesus today. Oh, they do. Because evil's in their heart. Enmity in them. And so it is in man by nature, and so it is in us. But how can the Lord bring forth this good? But God meant it for good. I remember many years ago walking in a very bitter pathway, and I may have told you before, but the Lord dropped those sweet lines of the hymn writer into my heart. And where the dear hymn writer speaks of this, especially in that the close of the verse, "'Tis all for the best. My soul now arise, my passions take wings, look up to the skies and cheerfully sing. Let Christ be the object in praises address, and this be my subject, 'tis all for the best." And I said, "Lord, however can it be?" And I couldn't see it at all at the time. There's no doubt Joseph felt this. However can good come out of it? But you know, with one's own heart, we were to prove it. And I remember a dear lady I used to pick up and take to the chapel. And I went to pick her up, and I was in a very low state. And that dear lady, the late Mrs. Giles, she was not a lady of many words, but ever so real in the things of God. And we rode down the road, and I can take you to the very spot to where I turn left to go off the main road to go towards Cranbrook Chapel. And she said to me, "I keep thinking about you." She said, "And the Lord has spoken these words," and she quoted that very verse, and she said, "It's all for the best." And I just wept really and drove to the chapel. I didn't answer. And then we went, and she took her seat in the chapel and I took mine, and the dear deacon got up and gave the hymn out. You see, there are times like Joseph had to prove it. And these brethren had got to prove it. But look how low they had to come to prove it. To fall at his feet. And if you look right the way through the Word of God, there are so many precious characters. Job came there, David came there. Many others came there where they had to fall to the at the feet of the Lord, and then in the New Testament where they fell at the feet of Jesus. And you see, when we're brought low enough, then we shall be able to see how it all be for good. But God meant it. You see, they meant it for evil. And if there's any got any against anybody this morning, I lovingly say this, the Lord will mark you for the evil. He marked these men. Oh, he did. We know good was to come out of it, but he marked them because of their sin. David, you know, when he fell in sin, the Lord marked him and he carried it right to the end of his life. That mark. Jonah continually had to consider how the Lord marked him for being disobedient. And some of us have got a few marks, haven't we, where the Lord has marked us. It may be, you see, a loving father or mother corrects the child, and they may, we know today, they say you shouldn't do it and all this, but to correct the child and smack them. But you know, some of us in our early days had some marks on us for days after we had done wrong. Spoil the rod, spare the rod and spoil the child, the proverb was. And you see, the Lord, because he loved these brethren, he marked them for it. But it was to be for their good. Oh, it was. And you think of it today and what you may be in. But as for you, ye thought it for thought evil against me. But God meant it for good. The Lord meant it for good. And so they had to prove it, didn't they? And Joseph had proved it. He could well speak this to those brethren because he'd proved it. But what was it all for? To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You see, the purposes, sing what we sung, these purposes. The Lord's purpose was to be brought to pass as it is this day. To save much people alive, because you see, Joseph being down in Egypt, look how many of these brethren, where would they have been? They'd have been perished in starvation. But God, you see, meant it for good and sent Joseph down there before them. And the land of Egypt prospered under the hand of Joseph. In all the time Joseph was in Egypt, the land prospered. Oh, it did. The Lord was so with him, you see, and prospering the land. And what was it for? To save much people alive. To save much people alive. And you think how many would have perished if the Lord hadn't have sent those days of wonderful prosperity. And not only this, I may have mentioned it before, but you know it's been a great lesson to me. You think of that time of prosperity, the 7 years of plenty. What did Joseph do in those 7 years of plenty? He filled all the storehouses of Egypt. Any storehouse there was filled with the plenty. He didn't waste it in any way. He stored it. What against the day of famine? It was to keep much people alive. What Joseph says here to these brethren was wonderfully fulfilled. It was to keep much people alive, to save much people alive. And you think of it in our souls, if the Lord favours us, we need much grace to store it against the day of adversity. We're told in the book of Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, that the Lord has set the one over against the other, the day of prosperity against the day of adversity. And if the Lord gives you a sweet promise, you keep it in your heart, poor soul, as grace and help of God is given, and store it against the day of adversity. Because so often the Lord will give a promise even before the day of adversity, and it carries the sinner right the way through. It's a wonderful thing, that is. But then he goes further, doesn't he? Now therefore fear ye not. There they were, trembling, shaking. How Joseph was going to deal with them. It may be there's one here this morning. You've got many things to make you tremble, many things to make you shake. Fear rages in your poor heart. But what does he say to them? Now therefore, seeing all that you're in, and all the circumstances that these brethren had been in, and the evil they'd had in them, fear ye not. This was the sweet antidote to it all, wasn't it? Fear ye not. And you think of the fears you may have of the future, the unknown way, the great day of death. How shall I stand in that great day? Well, here's the sweet answer. And really, this message from Joseph to the brethren was not just Joseph's message. Let us be very clear. It was the Lord's message to them. Joseph had a special love to these brethren, and so had the Lord, you know, in spite of all their sin. Joseph, as we read, didn't we, in the, verse 19, for am I in the place of God? He was the Lord's messenger to them, speaking this word to calm their poor hearts. And it may be there's one here this morning that needs it. Why, the Lord's given it to them. Now therefore, fear ye not. Fear ye not. The Lord spoke the same words, didn't he, to the children of Israel at the Red Sea, when they were full of fear. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which the Lord will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And what a sight it was when they saw them all lying dead on the seashore. The Lord had put them all down. I'd rather be the oppressed than the oppressor. The Lord said, woe unto the oppressor. And you think how solemnly the Lord dealt with those hosts of Pharaoh because they were oppressing God's dear children. Now therefore, fear ye not. Now there may be one that has some particular fear this morning. Well, that fear that these brethren had was all known to the Lord. Nothing escapes his sight. And your fear this morning, whatever it may be in affliction, may be concerning things of providence, may be something in the family, may be something concerning the church of God, may be the great fear of death, the solemn issues of eternity. It may be Satan is roaring, a buffeting you on every side. And oh, the fears that your poor heart has concerning it. Well, here's the sweet answer. You see, what the Lord speaks to his dear children is so suited to their very case. And it suited them so well here because it came right where they were. And they needed it, you see. Now, you see, the more we're in need, the more we shall need the Lord to speak such a word to us. And we shall be wrestling and pleading with him to speak it to us. And there may be one here that's come up, and there's this too. You come up looking for it, don't you? Faith, reaching out for the blessing. Faith, reaching out for the word from the Lord in the matter. And you come up in sweet anticipation. And you see, though they had all these fears, the Lord knew just what to speak through Joseph to them. Now therefore, seeing exactly what you're in and what they were in, fear ye not. Well, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this. And then he goes further, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Amen.